Good morning. Thank you, young women of God. Beautiful melody, awesome harmony. Thank you. We are reading from a new, I shouldn't say it's new, but new to us, a new letter to the Corinthians. It's the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. We'll be in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians for a while. So if you want to open your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor took us through a little memorizing a verse, you know, showed us how we can memorize a verse and how that's helpful to us. And I came across one in the YouVersion thing that you get up to online, if you guys do that. And I think you guys can finish this if I started. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and... all right. There we go, Pastor. You've got a mature fellowship. We are starting in this new study on Corinthians. And the thing that happened, if you remember when we went through Ephesians, Pastor took us through the first... And I did this once before. But it seemed like the first verses that he took us through was like the theme for the rest of the book. I'm not sure if that's true this time, but if you remember in Ephesians, we went through 1:3. It said, blessed be the Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And that became the theme for the book of Ephesians. And now it looks like we're going on to another blessing that God has given us. In comfort. So let's stand and let's read the verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake in the consolation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's be seated. And Pastor, we welcome you.
Of a young man named he wasn't feeling well for a day. Like symptoms, his temperature ranged between 103 and 105 degrees. So finally his mother took him to the hospital. And they got to the hospital. And he was diagnosed with leukemia. And, of course, that's a very serious thing. And the doctors did not at all sugarcoat what it was going to be like. He was going to have to undergo chemotherapy for 3 years. The side effects would be he would be bald. He likely would bloat up considerably. And so he went home, and he fell into a depression. His aunt was very concerned about him. So his aunt called the local floral business and said that this is for my nephew. He has leukemia. And beautiful flowers were sent to him. He read the note from his aunt. And then he noticed another card. This is what the card said. Douglas, I took your order. I work at Brick's Florist. I had leukemia when I was 7 years old. I'm 22 years old now. Good luck. My heart goes out to you. Sincerely, Laurel Bradley. His face lit up and he said, "Oh." And so for the first time since his diagnosis, he was uplifted and encouraged and comforted. And it's kind of ironic, is it not? Here he was with millions of dollars of medical equipment, with doctors and nurses who had hundreds of years of medical experience, and the person who comforted him was the clerk at a floral shop who was able to connect with him at his level. Why is God called the God of all comfort? And what can we learn about being better vessels to comfort those who need consolation? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, verse 3, make that. We see some things that will help us to be better comforters and to learn about that wonderful ministry of comfort. And I invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1, 3. I'd like to begin by talking the source of comfort. The source of comfort. Comfort's no big deal until we're the ones that need it, right? Then it becomes a big deal. The source of comfort. And we all need it because we live in the world that we live in. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Blessed or praise be when the Bible talks about us blessing God, we praise him because he's worthy of praise. When it talks about us, talks about God blessing us, he does things for us. We say things to him, we praise him, and when he blesses us, he does things for us. But here it's the praise that we offer him because he is worthy of such praise, because he is the God of all comfort. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that an interesting phrase? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God was always Jesus' Father from eternity past. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But he only became Jesus' God when Jesus was incarnated, when he was born, when he became a baby. He became like us. He needed to have God take care of him. He became dependent upon his Father for the first time. And so he is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He also is the Father of mercies. And that is an important phrase which helps us to understand why he's also the God of all comfort. He is the God of all comfort because he is the Father of mercies. The idea of the word mercy is to have compassion or to have pity upon another person. God provides comfort because he's compassionate towards us. He feels for us in our hurts and our pains. He is a merciful God, and that is why he extends comfort. In Psalm 86, God being the Father of mercies, one who has compassion, he is not slow. We all give thanks, right? Could you imagine God? Psalm 86, verse 5. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. He is ready to forgive. He has an overflowing amount of mercy. It's abundant. It just flows through his being. Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning or forgiving iniquity, passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. It brings God pleasure to extend mercy. He delights in it. What a great thought. That is why David says in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life because I am connected and serve the God of all mercy, the merciful God. That's why mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, Psalm 23, verse 6 says. For as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him, Psalm 103, verse 11 says. For God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he has loved us, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says. So he is the Father of mercies, and that is why he is the God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. First of all, the word comfort, literally in the Greek, is to come alongside somebody. God comes alongside us in the midst of our distress, our hurt, our pain. He loves to extend comfort because he is a Father of mercies. Notice that it also says he is the God of all comfort. All comfort ultimately can be traced back to him in every circumstance. Now, he may express it indirectly through others, but he is the ultimate source of comfort in every circumstance, every situation. If you feel soothed or consoled inside, you know God is the one who's behind it. He's behind it all. So the source of comfort is God, and he is worthy of our praise because he is the God of all comfort. And he is the God of all comfort because he has an abundant mercy that he delights to extend to others. Okay. Not bad for the first verse, huh? God packed a lot in there, didn't he? Let's take a look at the purpose of comfort. And there's a twofold purpose of comfort, which is interesting. It's just not one thing. Who comforts us in all of our tribulation, purpose number one, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we are comforted by God, purpose number two. First of all, God comforts us in all of our tribulation. He relieves us, and notice the word all again. The idea of the word tribulation is to press. The root of that word. When the circumstances of life are pressing in upon us and we're feeling the heat, we need comforted, right? When we feel overwhelmed, our heart. Have to bear it ourselves. Now that raises the question, what ways does God do that? God goes about relieving our hurts, consoling us, comforting us in the midst of our hardships. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 16. Well, verse 15, one of my favorites. If you love me, keep my commandments. Sometimes I say that to my wife and kids. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. They don't respond the same. They usually laugh. Okay. So let's go to verse 16. And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another, in the old King James, comforter, right? New King James, helper. That he may abide with you forever. He's the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans all by yourself. I will come to you in the form of the Holy Spirit who will be in you. The Spirit of God, whose name, one of his nicknames, if you will, is the Comforter. And the Spirit of God is really good at it, isn't he? We've all been in a situation where we're down, we're hurting, whatever. And all of a sudden, from the inside out, it's all changed. Nothing has changed about our circumstances. But the Spirit of God, perhaps in the response to the prayer of one of God's people, and all of a sudden, we are comforted from the inside out. God uses his Holy Spirit. Another way that God comforts his people. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. How about that? And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation or comfort with which he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. Now, Paul here, and if we read through 2 Corinthians as we will and study it, he was downcast. He was down. How many times do you read in the scriptures that Paul was down? He was down here. He was downcast. But he had the privilege of running into Titus, who gave him a good report. And the good report was about the Corinthians church. And the Corinthians church was getting a little bit flaky about who Paul was. They were believing false teachers and false accusations against Paul. But they got straightened out, and Titus comes and gives them good news. Your mourning over their foolishness and their sinfulness about what they thought about Paul, and your zeal for me, their zeal to see Paul again, so that I rejoiced even more. Here we see that God can use people. He used Titus, running into Titus, and Titus's positive, good message about the Corinthians people and what they thought about the Apostle Paul, how they got their quote-unquote act together. God uses people, doesn't he? He moves in people's hearts. People say the right thing at the right time. They do the right thing at the right time. They are at the right place at the right time, and God uses people. He uses his Holy Spirit, and he uses people. What a joy to be an instrument of comfort in God's hands as he extends comfort and mercy to somebody else. 2 Thessalonians. Now, these aren't the only three. Let's just call them the big three, okay? These are the main ways that God uses to comfort his people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, classic passage. But we believe that Jesus died and he rose again, even so God will bring this to say to you by the word of the Lord that we by believers who have already passed in heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet. God, and the dead in Christ, they will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, we're going to be raptured. We're going to be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall all be with the Lord or come to one another. Future. What was going to happen to them, what was going to happen to believers who had already passed away. And Paul says it's really going to be the ultimate family reunion is what it's going to be. It's going to be the greatest family reunion ever. Those who are who've passed away in Jesus, they're going to come, and we who are alive and remain, and we're going to be caught up together with them, and we're all going to have our glorious resurrection bodies, and we'll be with one another, and we'll be with the Lord forever. Comfort one another with those words. The word of God has a way, does it not? It has a way of comforting us. The right word at the right time. It's the Bible. It's part of why God wrote the scriptures. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It is through the patient and the comfort of scriptures that we have hope. It's through the patient and comfort of scriptures that we have hope. And so God uses his Spirit, he uses his people, he uses his word. Why do we love the 23rd Psalm so much? The Lord is my shepherd. We love it because one word, the comfort it provides. Why do we love the book of Psalms so much? Because of the comfort that it provides. God uses his spirit. God uses people. God uses his word. When we're hurting for certain. So that's one of the reasons, one of the purposes of God's comfort is to relieve our hearts. And those are the three primary instruments that he uses. But also our verse clearly states so that we might become better comforters. He comforts us to relieve our hurts, but it's not all about us. It's also about us being better comforters so that we may comfort those who are in any trouble with the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So we learn as we experience the comfort of God, we learn to be better vessels, better able to comfort others. We say to ourselves, you know something, that note sent from the florist clerk that really helped me. When I get a chance, I think I know what I can do. Right? We learn from experience how to become better comforters. And sometimes at the time, we're not really sure why we're going through what we're going through and therefore need comfort. I know when Melinda and I were engaged, our toughest period, we've been married the better part of 36 years, our most difficult stage was the engagement stage. If people would have left us alone, we would have been just fine, but oftentimes people don't, so we weren't just fine. And now you know enough. And it was very trying. It was very, very difficult. It was really, really hard. And I remember saying to myself, why am I going through this? I don't deserve this. This shouldn't, shouldn't be happening to us. And it really shouldn't have been. But boy, learned a lot of wonderful things, which I've shared with dozens of young couples going through premarital counseling. And I've shared with dozens and dozens of older couples who've been married for a while, who perhaps never learned some of those fundamental lessons. And I think God has used it. And now I say to myself, oh, so that's why we went through that nonsense. And that. Similar experience where there's common ground and points of connection, yes. The exact same spirit, absolutely not. For instance, let's say that you just feel like a big fat failure because of a ministry thing that you tried and it didn't work. It and your mind flopped. God probably used it, but you feel like you failed. The same feelings, the same thoughts, the same things that you have to work through are the same as somebody who is failing at business, failing in their marriage, failing raising their kids, or at least they think they are. The exact same thoughts, feelings, principles, verses, they're the same. 75-80% of it is the exact same. So all we need to do is have points of similarity. I went through something that is like that, but not exactly that, and we'll be able to be used by God as a comforter. So you're better equipped than you think you are, right? That's right. So the purposes of God's comfort, to relieve our hurts, yes, and to make us better comforters. What a wonderful ministry to be able to use, to be able to be used by the Lord to bring consolation to people. Finally, the magnitude of comfort. It's bigger than we give it credit for. The magnitude of comfort. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. Well, that doesn't sound good. But for the apostles, the sufferings of Christ did abound in them. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. as the sufferings abound in Christ, the comfort abounds as well, which is good to know. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul prays that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. I want to experience the same sufferings, Philippians 3:10, that Jesus experienced, because when I do, I experience his resurrection power. I experience his power when I experience his suffering, because suffering drives me to him. And that's when I experience his power. In Acts chapter 14, verse 21, notice what is written. And when they preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. They strengthened the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. And this is what they said: we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. And everyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, we are blessed to live in a culture where the number one, before we come to Christ, I don't know about you, but I wasn't pursuing personal holiness. I wasn't fighting against sin. I was enjoying it. Right? But as believers, we've got this constant battle against sin. We will be relieved of when we pass, but until then, we've got a battle we did not have. Some people, they come to Christ, and they now all of a sudden they've got an unsaved spouse. Boy, is that a hard one. Boy, is that a hard... That's something that an unsaved person doesn't even have to think about. But a believer very well may have to think about that. Before I came to Christ, I never worried about turning the other cheek, loving my enemies, blessing those who curse me. Challenging. Kinds of heartaches and suffering. It increases after we come to Christ. For as the sufferings of Christ abound or overflow in us, so our consolation, our comfort also abounds through Christ. Isn't it wonderful? We get to experience more comfort. We experience more hardship, but it's a hardship that is combined with an overflowing comfort, is the idea of that phrase. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of the present time that we endure, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The sufferings are small compared to the future glory they will earn us. The sufferings are also small compared to the present comfort that we experience. Comfort in Christ abounds even more than the sufferings do. And Paul concludes this section here in verse 6. Now, if we are afflicted, which they were, Paul and his fellow companions, it is for your comfort and your salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. We have greater sufferings, but we also have greater comfort, and because of that, we are better able to comfort you and console you in the midst of your sufferings. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will also be partaker of the comfort. It's interesting. Have you ever noticed that the people who are best at comforting others, I'll tell you the two groups of people. Here's who they are. Number one, they're fellow believers who have the gift of mercy. God just gifts them. They can feel for you at the drop of a hat. And number two, those people who've gone through a lot, they've suffered. They know what it's like to be comforted. Those are the best comforters. The gift of mercy and those who have gone through a lot, who've suffered, that makes us better comforters, both in our lives and in the lives of other people. And so we thank God for him being the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Relieves our hurts and helps us to be better comforters to others. Lord, we thank you that as we walk through life, it's just not us. It's not us by ourselves. It's us in you. And you have plenty of resources. You have your precious Holy Spirit who dwells in us. You have other people who have been equipped by you to be comforters. And of course, Lord, you have your precious word, which is full of promises and hope. And a lot of times, Father, that's basically what we need, is some hope. And your word more than adequately provides for that. And we thank you, Lord God, that when we are being comforted by you, it's not an end in itself, but you are equipping us to be used by you to console, comfort, soothe, help others in the future. And we bless you for that, that you are a God who's long-sighted and not near. Things we've gone through 30 years ago can be used today to be a blessing to others. And so, Lord, thank you.